Well, are you really, really, really in tune to God? I mean, really, are you really in tune to God? Are you just taking from God, or are you giving to God? That's not our sermon tonight. But I, you know, so many people just take from God and never give anything to Him. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired of takers. I think we owe God something. And I think we need to be giving to God, not always what God can give back to us. But no, what God can give to us. As I was sitting there, I said, God, I'm not getting up there angry now. Because He's angry at those in the body of Christ who take from Him and never give Him what He deserves. Yeah, I hope y'all take this into your little, and let it go then into your spirit, and understand what God's saying to you tonight. He's tired of takers. He wants you to start giving back to Him. You wouldn't be for God, you would be out there on the street somewhere, begging bread and not having any place to lay your head. And I was a street person one time, I know. And it wasn't because I wanted to be, but my stepmother kicked me out on the street. And I'd never want that for anybody. See, and each one of you should think that way yourself. I don't care where you were at, I was there, and I wouldn't want that on anybody have to go through what I went through, right? Tonight, God's going to have me pray first. I mean, God is good. You know, just because He gets upset with you doesn't mean He stays upset. He's like me. He says what He has to say, and then He's good to go. Amen. Or else I'm like Him. I say what I have to say, and I'm good to go. Amen. Isn't that the way it is? We don't hold nothing, grudges or nothing, do we? We just let it go. Father, I truly do thank You for tonight and for the opportunity to sit in Your presence once again. And Father God, I really am glad that You have blessed us abundantly. And You hold nothing back from Your children. And Father God, I thank You for these people come out tonight. And I'm asking God that You open up their spiritual ears tonight. Let them hear, truly hear what You're saying. Not what they're sitting thinking while You're speaking. And Father God, change and rearrange. Bring them to a deeper depth in You. And Father, I thank You for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as you look around about you, nothing is good out there. Absolutely nothing is good out there. And so what we have to do is keep our eyes on God and not think about the negative, and then we'll be happy. But if we keep looking at the negative in our own lives or what's going on around about the world, and God was upset the other night, and He's very upset about how they are treating His son, President Donald Trump. Well, they said, what, God said, making a sham of Him? And He's also mad about the fact that they are disrespecting the Capitol. He's very upset with that. He's upset with the men and women who work there and how they're disgracing His temple and how everybody's reacting to the whole building in itself. If I was you guys, I'd really be seeking God's face. Am I one of those who's disrespecting the White House? And the President of the United States, and even the people He's put in there, and God's saying, I'm going to keep here in Congress. You know, we really need to be praying like never before, because this is, God's angry. The other night I was talking to Brother Chris about something else, and God started speaking about the way we're treating President Trump, and He's upset, truly upset. He said, you're making a sham of His king. President Trump is His king, and He's not happy with that. So I hope you're not one of those who's coming against the President of the United States. Anyhow, they sent me a little thing today, and they said they wanted me to vote if I thought that President Obama, did a good job in his office, should be reelected. I don't know what it was said, but when the results came back, I was totally, completely, absolutely, positively so stunned I wanted to put my fist through my screen. Only 16% said he did a bad job, and everybody else said he did a perfect job. That's what they voted today. Now, when they voted about President Trump, it went off the charts that they liked him. Everybody liked President Trump, when hardly anybody said they didn't. But I couldn't believe the first vote. I don't think I'll vote again. I think I'll just say delete, because I got so upset over that. All right. When I asked God, you know, what he wasn't taught on, he said, "My children, you still have not learned long suffering as my son Jesus did. I desire you to learn this day all about long suffering." Now, I entitled this consecrated life, living a consecrated lifestyle, and there's a reason why I did that. Now, long suffering, the definition is patiently enduring lasting offense or hardship. And he said, "There, we have not learned your heart or long suffering yet." So long suffering is patiently enduring lasting offense or hardship. In Galatians 5:22 talks about the fruit. It said, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, it's a fruit of the Spirit, kindness, goodness, faithfulness." I don't think too many people have that fruit in their life, the long suffering. And you need to start working on your long suffering. Before I go any further with the song service, I put that together tonight. No, God put that together. And poor Brother Aaron, he never knows what I'm going to do with him. But I was sitting, and God said, he just started naming these songs. I put them all down. He said, "Now that's Wednesday night song service." I said, "Oh, okay." And so I listened to them all, and I went and said, Brother Aaron said, "This is what God wants, so that's what we're going to do." And I thought they were all really good songs. I liked one about parachutes. I had never heard that one before. But I really did like, I just thought that each one of those songs ministered in a special way. And if you would just listen to the songs from your spirit, man, they will all minister to you, will they not? They really will minister to you the way God wants them to minister to you. But he has Sunday, okay? I was telling him, don't get impatient with me, because Sister Teresa, when she was doing it, you know, we would be the night before the service, and I would go to her and I would say, "Teresa, what do you have for song of service?" She would tell me, and I said, that's no good. That's not what God wants. And she'd have to start from scratch the night before the service. She never complained, though, and she took her while, but she'd get what God wanted. You know, I said, this is what God really wants. And I would say the trend, you know, where it would be. And she would get it together, and it all worked out fine. So I haven't done that to you yet, Brother Aaron, where you have to stay up all night getting a song service together. See, he has to, reason why I said that, he has to learn long suffering. All right. We need to learn about the fruit of long suffering and how to never give up. And I know a lot of you sitting in here tonight, you know that the reason why you wanted to give up so many times is because the fruit of long-suffering is not operating in your life. Or hasn't been, but is now. But at one point, it wasn't operating, but it should be now. All right? God promises that he will strengthen and uphold us, but how do we do our part? You have to know that there are many out there that, all right, this is God speaking. Wherever you see that little star, that's when God starts speaking again, okay? You have to know that I really feel good tonight. You know, God is really on the throne, and he's doing a perfect works, all right? You have to know that there are many out there that have never heard of me, and they live in strange and different places. Listen to this, you guys. You will need to know how to reach these places, and you will need to know how to minister to those that are hurting, dying, and contemplating suicide in these places of darkness. So he said, you have to know that there are many out there that have never heard of me, and they live in strange and different places. Now, God goes on to say, but how are you going to do this? How are you going to reach them? And how are you going to minister to them? But how are you going to do this when you have not come to grips with the evil within yourself and within the world? So he's saying you haven't yet come to grips with all the junk that's inside of you, and you haven't yet come to grips with the junk that's going on out there in the world, that you just say, oh, well, you know, that's the way it always is. You're going to have to come to grips with all these things. God goes on to say, you walk in self-denial of what is going on deep within the recesses of your soul, and you will not allow my Holy Spirit to minister to those lost and broken pieces. Let's go back over that. You walk in self-denial of what is going on deep within the recesses of your soul. You just want a surface deliverance. You don't want a deep cleansing, is what he's saying. And you will not allow my Holy Spirit to minister to those lost and broken places, you know, within you. This day I so desire for you to allow me in and allow me to minister to you like never before. I will drop my anointing on you and cleanse the deep recesses of your soul, but you must ask for it, and you must really want it, and then you must receive it with all your being. See what he says? This day I so desire for you to allow me in. Just don't listen to what he's saying. Let it soak into your spirit, man, and allow me to minister to you like never before. I will drop my anointing on you and cleanse the deep recesses of your soul, but you must ask for it, and you must really want it, and then you must receive it with all your being. A lot of people say they want it, but they really don't. It's just a facade that you put up to cover the sin nature that you have deep within. And you, when you say to somebody, you really need a deliverance, well, no, I don't either. Well, let me think about it. You don't want to deal with what's really inside of you. I would never look at you and say you had needed a deliverance if God didn't tell me that. Because it's none of my business how you are inside, but it is God's business. And when God sees something deep down inside of you that needs to come out, because without that coming out, you'll never be a minister for him. You see what I'm saying? And if God says to me or to somebody else, I'd really watch who said to you that you need a deliverance, all right? But because a lot of people are out there, I have found out they're really out there in left field doing some crazy things all in the name of Jesus. And see, the reason why you get caught up in that is because you're not walking in the spirit, and you have them demons inside of you telling you that they're all right and you don't have to do anything about it. Okay? Then God goes on to say total consecration. That's why I entitled this living a consecrated lifestyle. Total consecration is involved in long suffering. This is what God said. What is total consecration, you ask? And God says, let me teach you. And Mark 12:30 says, in the Message Bible says, so love the Lord God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence and energy. Now, the New King James Version said, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is a first commandment. Now, if you don't like being in the house of God, you do not qualify to even say anything about Mark 12:30. If you really love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, you would want to be in the house of God. You would make sure that you're in the house of God, period. What does it mean to be consecrated? That's what I said. Consecration is a voluntary act of committing oneself to worship, prayer, and service to God. The word consecrated literally means to unite by force with the sacred. And John the Baptist lived a consecrated life. I'm going to stop here. You know, we had the newsletter for this month, and God told me to write about love. So I'm sitting down listening for God, you know, and he was telling me what to write. And then I said, no, this isn't right. And I struggled and struggled with that. And I realized what was going on. The enemy was telling me that the world doesn't want to hear this. Therefore, I couldn't say what God wanted to say in the newsletter. And I had to really struggle with this thing. I figured this out. I wasn't writing it for the world. It's going out to the body of Christ. Now, if the world gets a hold of it, I hope it changes them. And so once I realized what was going on, then I was able to sit down and write the article listen to God and write the article for the newsletter. Are you understanding how this works? The enemy will always come by and try to mix you up and tell you things to get you into confusion so that you don't do the things of the Father. All right, the word consecrate means, I'm going to read that again, Nancy. The word consecrated literally means to unite by force with the sacred. John the Baptist lived a consecrated life. Matthew 11:12 says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. Now, our greatest privilege is to hunger after God and seek him with all our heart. That's our privilege. There is nothing else more fulfilling than living wholeheartedly for Him in this life. But so few live lives that provoke us to this kind of radical lifestyle. I am totally surprised as I watch the body of Christ how many people do not consecrate themselves to God. They just live just enough with Him, hoping that'll get them into heaven. But they never sell themselves out totally and completely to God. And you know what? I'm just wondering where they're going to end up at. You can look at a person and tell, and just watch the fruit. You can tell whether or not they're totally sold out to God. Watch their reactions if you happen to push the wrong button. And you immediately see where they're coming from. And they say, I love God. I'm living for God. No, you're not. Your fruit is exposing you. All right? You know, you're going to meet a lot of people who don't know Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And when you walk up to those people, you are going to be Jesus to them. Now, what kind of fruit are you showing them? You're going to be totally humble. There cannot be 1 ounce of pride within you. And you have to know that you know that you know that every word you speak is the Holy Spirit speaking through you, ministering to the people. Or you're not going to save the lost and the dying. You're not. Now, you might draw people into the house of God, but that doesn't mean they're going to stay. So I'm going to tell you right now, please don't get under condemnation. That used to really bother me because I brought people in the house of God constantly, but they never stayed. It's because they never got connected to Jesus. They still stayed in their own old lifestyle, still one dead old lifestyle. I can't make you drop your old lifestyle. That's between you and God. And some of you are going to have to work really hard dropping your old lifestyle, because it has a strong hold on you. And I just thank God that I never was there where the enemy had a strong hold on me. But I know that God's able to bring you out of that mess that you're in. He really is. All right, I said there's nothing else more fulfilling than living wholeheartedly for Him, for God in this life. But so few live lives that provoke us to the kind of radical lifestyle. Now, consecration to God is something we see little of in a world that is looking for excitement, quick fixes, and glamour, and the world sits in the house of God. You know, I have one member of my household who says, God doesn't do this, and God does, and they know. And so the other day he said to his mother, he said, well, you might as well give all my stuff away because God said I'm always going to live with my mom, so he's. But this is the same God the day before said, God didn't tell you that. You see, you know, the devil just wants to make him believe that God's not. But he knows. He knows that in his spirit, because he's called to preach God's word. He knows in his spirit that God is real. And he knows that God does talk. And so, you know what? I have to keep living. You know, some days I like not to live the life of God in front of my family. But I have to keep living that life. Because if I would just for 1 second, just one minute second, give in, there they would go. Say, see, I told you. See, I told you. So it doesn't matter what you have to go through, what kind of persecution you have to go to. You have to stay on your ground and never, ever compromise. You cannot compromise your walk with God ever. People are watching you and they're just waiting for you to slip up. They're waiting for you to fall. Don't give them that privilege of watching you fall. All right. Where are those who can say, I want God and nothing else in this world? I want to go as far as it is possible for a human to go in seeking after God and living abandoned to Him. Where in the house of God do you find that kind of people? I don't want to toot anybody's horn, but I've been watching Sister Barbara since she's come into the house of God, and she is one who's totally and completely fallen in love with God. She's learned to keep her mouth shut. She's learned to be humble and just sit and know that God will vindicate her. And see, I watch each person that comes in and I watch how your fruit grow. Some of you, your fruit is still stinketh, and you still have not attained the things that God would want you to attain. See, I don't know Barbara personally, but I do know her from coming in here, how she acted and how she's acting now. Totally different person. Amen. And I don't know anything about Elaine, but I know from what she said that she's totally sold out to God. And wasn't when she, at one point in her life, but now she's totally sold out to God. Just from different things she's given her testimony standing up here. So you see, this is what we're watching. How, what kind of fruit are you bearing? And when people look at you, what do they see? Do they see Jesus? Or do they just see you standing there? Are you understanding this tonight? And I'm hearing God say, "What you're supposed to be glorifying Him and not yourself." I was thinking just yesterday, I was sitting there contemplating, thinking about some things, praying about some things, really. And I said, "God, I'm just a nobody. I'm just me." And He said, "My son was just him too. I don't wear fancy clothes. I'm not up there in a billboard, you know, and I don't have bishop and this and that, you know, in front of my name. I said, I'm just me. How can you use me, just plain old me?" He says, "The same way I use my son." So, I want you to think about, I'm telling you that so you can think about that too. It doesn't matter what's in front of your name. It doesn't matter, you know, anything. You are just you, and that's who God is using. Amen. See, I forgot that He let me raise the dead. I forgot He let me, healings take place. I forgot He let me go out on the road and hold evangelistic meetings and all that. I forgot all that kind of stuff. And I said, "I'm just me. I was always just me." Are you understanding this? I never tried to be somebody else. I was always just me. So I want you to always just be you, because it's your personality that God called. Remember I told you when I first started, I tried to be like everybody. And one day I said, "God, who am I?" He said, "I don't know. I don't know," he said, "you're trying to be everybody." And he said, you're not even yourself anymore. He said, "I called you. I didn't call you to be, I called to be like Kenneth Hagin. I tried preaching to the lettuce heads and all that kind of stuff, None of that worked." He said, "Just be you." So each one of you, just be you. You don't have to be anything great and wonderful. Just be you. Did they accept Jesus? No, they did not. Did He have to prove Himself? He didn't have to, no. He just kept on doing the will of the Father. He didn't even try to prove Himself. And I was thinking the other day about, they're going on about this fasting stuff, and we should fast, right? But there are the pros and cons of it. And I sat there and I said, "God, when you had Jesus fast for 40 days, you took Him up on the mountains." And then God said, but the enemy told Him He could turn the stones into bread, didn't they? So if anybody's thinking that, just stop it. Don't use that as an excuse. You took Him out of the world, God, and you took Him up on a mountain where there's nothing but stones, but He could have turned the stones into bread. I don't know why they even come across my mind. Maybe somebody's thinking that. Amen. Psalms 42, verse 1-2. "You want me to quit smoking cigarettes? Well, you took Jesus up on the mountain where there weren't no cigarettes for 40 days, and that's how He broke His habit." Now, that isn't true. Well, Jesus didn't. You know what I'm saying? I'm just throwing a few things out there. Psalm 42, verse 1 says, "As a deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." Is that how you feel? That's how you should feel if you don't. Psalm 42, 1 and 2. Then there's a little star, and that's God again. He said, "I have set before you many examples in my word of living a consecrated life. If you knew my word, you would be living a consecrated life, and you would not be asking how to do it. If you knew His word," He says. He goes on to say, "Children, you must realize that every one of my children had to submit their entire beings to me and then follow my commands." He's talking about the examples in the Bible, people who walked a consecrated life. He said, "They could in no wise venture off of the path that I laid before their feet." Read that again. "Children, you must realize that every one of my children had to submit their entire beings to me and then follow my commands. They could in no wise venture off of the path that I laid before their feet." The ones in the Bible, Paul, they didn't have to keep praising God in their prisons. They didn't have to keep writing letters to their churches. They didn't have to do the things they were doing, but they lived a consecrated life to God, and they wouldn't leave God for nothing. All right? Then I said, there's an overflow of a consecrated life. You can't hide it. Others see it and are drawn to it and want it. Some are convicted and others hate it because it points out and rebukes the lukewarm and the dead. I remember when I first was going on the road to, you know, evangelize, and one time my mother went with me, and we was in a small church, and the men came to me just crying and weeping and falling, you know, they hugged me, then they fell to the floor, and my mother said, look at them lusting after you. I said, no, mother, they're not. The Holy Spirit drew them. You know, and then we prayed for them, but she thought they were being lustful. See, my mother wasn't walking in the Spirit that time. But so you men, if women come to you and throw their arms around about you and start crying, they're not wanting you. The Holy Spirit drew them, and now your job is to lead them to Christ, the godly way. And women, you're the same way. You have to know that it's God in you that they're after, and you can't have lust in you. If you have lust in you, then you'll be drawn to the lust in them, and you won't do the work that God's calling you forth to do. Matthew chapter 11, verse 12 says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, we read that before, we're going to read it again. Is that where I'm at, Nancy? Oh, yeah. Okay. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Spiritual violence is the expression of our willingness to pay any price of self-denial in seeking and obeying God. This is consecration. That's why I'm reading that scripture. Spiritual violence is the expression of our willingness to pay any price of self-denial in seeking and obeying God. This is consecration. This is what revival is all about, a personal dedication to Jesus and no other. A commitment that is lived out only by grace and the power of God. Can you say to God, I am hungry? I want more? Take me into the consecrated life. Nothing else satisfies. Make my heart alive in you and nothing else. Show me how to truly live for your glory. Let's read that whole thing again. This is what revival is all about. You know, the revival is you. The revival in you. A personal dedication to Jesus and no other. A commitment that is lived out only by grace and the power of God. Period. Now, can you say to God, I am hungry. I want more. Take me into the consecrated life. Nothing else satisfies. Make my heart alive in you and nothing else. Show me how to truly live for your glory. Can you really say that to God? Really say it from the very depth of your being and really mean it. Now, I was seeking God's face about revival, and God said to me, I hate it when they say, bring revival. He said, because the way they're saying it is, they're using revival as the word for me to drop my glory. And what revival is all about is each individual getting their life changed. My glory, he said, that I'm going to drop is not revival. If you're not already revived, my glory is going to kill you. Then I was seeking God, well, what do you want to call it? And then the kids start acting up, and I don't know, but I'm going to get back to that tonight because I want to know. Well, okay, so we don't call it revival. What do you want us to call it? Or what do you call it? See, I want to know that. What do you call it now? Because he's been trying to start the revival fires within each one of us. Now, either revival fire started in you or it didn't. If the revival fire started in you, then you're going to get the glory drop. Because God's not going to drop the glory on those who do not have the revival fires within them. Because it will kill them. They won't be able to carry that kind of an anointing. Are you understanding this? All right, now. The impact of focusing on God produces this. Number one, a purposed heart. When you're focused on God and want to live a consecrated heart, the first thing will happen is you'll have a purposed heart, a desire in the heart to draw near to Him. Number two, a changed lifestyle. A lifestyle and behavior change. You spend your time, energy, and money in different ways. Number three, a reaping of consequences in God. When our actions change, we reap positive consequences in God, in our relationship with God. All right, those are the three things that happen. A purposed heart, a changed lifestyle, a reaping of consequences in God. And this is why I know some of you aren't drawing close to God, because your lifestyle has not yet changed. Your lifestyle just has not yet changed. I'm still watching your fruit. Now, Daniel was an example of a consecrated life. He separated himself unto God and lived differently than others. He positioned his heart after God and prayed three times a day. He fasted. He sought after God when no one was watching. His life was marked by miraculous deliverances, like from the lion's den in a fiery furnace. He had visions and dreams and God's favor. His life was alive to God's purposes. He and John the Baptist led a consecrated life that has challenged and overflowed throughout the generations. In other words, like God said, if you would know his word, you wouldn't ask him, how do I live a consecrated life? You would know. The world needs my son, and the only way, and this is what God is saying, the world needs my son, and the only way they are going to see my son is through you, as you consecrate yourself totally and completely to me every day for the rest of your lives. It's not a one-day thing. Then God goes on to say, this is not a hard thing that I'm asking. It is easy. I never call you to do something you cannot do. I will strengthen you, and I will give the wisdom to walk this consecrated lifestyle that I'm calling you into this night. He's calling you to do that this night. God goes on to say, take heed to what you hear, see, and do from this night forth. For I am sending my angelic host to help you in this consecrated lifestyle, and you shall see things in the supernatural that none other has ever seen. Let's read that again. Take heed to what you hear, see, and do from this night forth. For I am sending my angelic host to help you in this consecrated lifestyle, and you shall see things in the supernatural that none other has ever seen. God went on to say, my son Jesus led a consecrated life, and even his disciples did not understand what and how he lived until after his death, burial, and resurrection. They didn't understand what Jesus was doing until after he died. You know, last night, we're working on my bedroom. My daughter was in there, and I had made a statement about, well, this young man, he went to court and he had a miracle. And my daughter said, well, Mom, you know, this could have happened. I'm not even going to go there because I know that you believe, that you know, that you hear God's voice. And I'm not going to say you didn't hear it like some of the others are saying here in the house. You believe God did a miracle, and I'm going to let you go ahead and believe that, she said. I know God did a miracle. The man was in court. But God had told me he wasn't going to go to jail, all right, to begin with. He was in court, and all of a sudden, and I was really at peace with, and all of a sudden I received a telephone call, and his wife was crying, pray as hard as you can pray, because they're getting ready to put him in jail. And so I called some of the prayer warriors. They started praying, and then I got a phone call 10 minutes after that saying they released him. His wife said right after I got off the phone, 5 minutes later, the judge says, wait a minute, we're just going to drop this whole thing. I'm not going to he got a fine and left. That was a miracle from God. But of course, they said, well, the legal system does this and this and this and this and this, you know. And I said, no, it was a miracle from God. God told me. And then somebody said, well, I know how you say God speaks to you, but I also know what the legal system does too. I said, you're not going to make me believe that I did not hear God's voice. I know I did, and I know this was a miracle. And I said to God when I got off that phone, when the wife was crying, I said, God, you told me that he was not going to go to jail. I've told this whole family he's not going to go to jail. You better not let him go to jail. Then I got a phone call 10 minutes later, said he didn't go to jail. We're on our way home. Say, if I didn't lead a consecrated life, I wouldn't do that kind of stuff. I wouldn't stand my ground the way I do, because I live in a den of thieves, you know, and I have to stand my ground. And I can't, well, you know, I can say, well, I just won't say nothing. I'll let them believe what they want to believe, and I'll believe. No, I don't care what you believe. I said, you know, you all know that God speaks. Because he's spoken to everybody in there except the one young man that wasn't saved yet. So you understand what I'm saying? Don't bend. Don't bend. Stand your ground. Then God goes on to say, I don't know where I'm at here. When they understood his lifestyle, they also followed in his footsteps. Who was he talking about here? Oh, Jesus. All right, let's read about Jesus. My son Jesus led a consecrated life, and even his disciples did not understand what and how he lived until after his death, burial, and resurrection. When they understood his lifestyle, see that? When they understood, see, you don't understand the consecrated lifestyle. They also followed in his footsteps and consecrated their lives unto me until death. After they understood. I hope you all understand about consecrated lifestyle tonight. God went on to say, you must also do the very same. There is no weapon formed against you that shall ever prosper as you follow this lifestyle that I'm calling you on tonight. Matthew 54:17 says you can call it an adventure if you like, for this is a new adventure that I'm calling you into, and you must at all costs consecrate yourself unto me if you're going to walk in the supernatural. Oh, I'm sorry, Matthew 54:17 is no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Then God goes on to say, you can call it an adventure if you like, for this is a new adventure that I'm calling you into, and you must at all costs consecrate yourself unto me if you're going to walk in the supernatural. Some of you in here, you are not going to walk in the supernatural, not the way you are right now. You're going to have to get yourself totally and completely cleaned up and consecrate yourself to God and follow him with all of your heart. Come on. Moses, and God went on to say, Moses, Paul, Joseph are other examples in my word that led a consecrated lifestyle. You see, I am not asking you to do something that my son did not do. This is not a command, God says. You do not have to live a consecrated lifestyle, but then you will not walk in signs, wonders, and miracles either. I will not be, and God goes on to say, I will not be upset with you if you do not consecrate yourselves unto me. But know this, you are revealing your true walk with me when you deny a consecrated life unto me, the author and finisher of your lives. I'm going to read that again. Some of you said, wow. And God said, I will not be upset with you if you do not consecrate yourselves unto me. But know this, you are revealing your true walk with me when you deny a consecrated life unto me, the author and finisher of your lives. Now he says, God says, token faith. I have not given you token faith. I gave you a measure of faith, and you were supposed to add to this measure of faith by your daily acts of consecration unto me. Now, I looked up token faith, and token faith is fake faith. All right? God goes on to say, far be it from me to force my children to do something they do not desire to do. But if you take my challenge today and consecrate yourselves unto me, you will never be sorry. I said the world needs Jesus, and he is the only answer to the people, to a people that has gone terribly wrong. Here are some simple ways to start a consecrated lifestyle. Number one, cut out the unnecessary. Begin where you are and ask God to help you focus and cut out those things that are not necessary. Number two, study biblical examples. Study the book of Daniel and other biblical characters who lived lives of devotion and consecration. Number three, pray through the Sermon on the Mount. Read and pray through the Sermon on the Mount on a regular basis. The sermon is in Matthew chapters 5 through chapter 7. It is all about a dedicated lifestyle. That's Matthew chapters 5 through 7. And then next thing is receive grace to walk it out. You can't do it yourself. You need the Holy Spirit's help. Realize that none of us is fully committed yet. Don't condemn yourself when you fall. We are all on the road, but we can walk day by day in all the light we receive. When we make a mistake, we push delete. I have a delete button on my little computer, and I know how to use that thing. We can push delete and start again. We need God's grace for consecration, and believe me, we do. If you say you don't, I don't know where you come from. Amen. You're living in some world that I don't know about. All right, next thing is live in expectation. Receive God's love in your own heart. and know that you will reap positive consequences by living a consecrated life. Right? Live in expectation. Receive God's love in your own heart and know that you will reap positive consequences by living a consecrated life. Will you recommit your life to Jesus tonight is what he wants to know. Let him take you by the hand into a life of consecration, step by step, a life of total commitment to him. The joy of the Lord will be your strength, and he will give you daily grace to walk it out. That is the absolute truth. When you totally commit yourself to God and you consecrate yourself to him, and you know it, and you don't get upset about every little thing that comes down the pike, and you don't delve into sin, don't you have the true joy of the Lord deep down inside? And that joy just bubbles up, doesn't it? You know, and people can't steal your joy. You might get a little bit upset and have a tyrant every now and then, but they can't steal your joy. Amen. God said, the devil can't steal your joy. You give it to him. All right? There is no greater joy than full surrender and a consecrated life. There is an overflow of blessing from a consecrated life. Remember, I said that when you live a consecrated life, everything that's in you is going to overflow onto other people. Now, Mike Bickle said this: God designed us so that experiencing his love is the most pleasurable reality available to human makeup. If you men and you women would quit looking for men and women to love you, allow God to love you, and quit doing this dumb stuff. I got to get married. I got to get married. I got to have a boyfriend. Got to have a girlfriend. Get out of here. Good grief. What you need is God and his love first. And then you will be cleansed and you'll be able to receive a mate. We were created to love God with all of our heart. When we do not love God with a passionate heart, then our emotional life is out of balance, and life does not work without pursuing this. So he said, when we do not love God with a passionate heart, then our emotional life is out of balance, and that is true. Life does not work without pursuing this. He goes on to say, we were created in such a way that we cannot live in wholeness without the pursuit of being wholehearted for God. If we have nothing to die for, then we have nothing to live for. And that's the truth. Many in the body of Christ are suffering from spiritual boredom because they are not passionate in their pursuit to love God. Now that's the end of what he said. Remember how God started out this teaching. He said, my children, you still have not learned long suffering as my son Jesus did. I desire you to learn this day all about long suffering. If we do not live a consecrated lifestyle, we will never walk in long suffering. All right? That's how you learn long suffering, by living a consecrated lifestyle. Then God went on to say, my children, if you are not living a consecrated lifestyle, then you cannot bring others into my kingdom of love and in all of its fullness. If you're wanting to go out and teach, are you right? Are you fully consecrated to God? You know, in the many years that I've been in this pulpit, so many people have passed through these doors wanting to start a church who didn't even have their own life right, were not consecrated to God, and all they wanted to do was get glamour, and those people started, but they fell. They were not consecrated to God. God said, my children, if you're not living a consecrated lifestyle, then you cannot bring others into my kingdom of love and all of its fullness. For what you have within is all that you have to give out. See that? And he said, what is your overflow? If you don't have the fullness of God in you, you can't give it out. Do you even have an overflow, he says. First of all, he said, what is your overflow? And then do you even have an overflow? All of my children should have an overflow of my abundance of love, so you can pour it into all that you meet. Did you get this tonight? Are you really understanding total consecration? It's a lifestyle. It's not a one-day thing, not a two-day thing. It's not an every-other-day thing. It's an everyday thing for the rest of your life, totally consecrated to God. Total consecration is where we are at tonight. This is a calling I am placing upon your lives, God said. Long-suffering is someone who's long-suffering puts up stoically with discomfort, trouble, or other people's bad behavior. You know, that's just what long-suffering means. We're going to read that again. Long-suffering is someone whose long-suffering puts up stoically with discomfort, trouble, or other people's bad behavior. This sounds to me that we really need to live a consecrated lifestyle. Amen. Consecration is where it's all at, guys. Consecrated unto God. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. God's saying right now, many of your lifestyles do not line up with his word. You're not living the consecrated life that you're supposed to be living, but yet you want to pull others into the body, and it's not going to happen. Isn't that right, Sister Elaine? When you go on that street, you have to be consecrated to God, don't you? Those hearts are hurting. Hard. They're hardened, aren't they? And they need to be softened, don't they? And it's only as you pour out the love of God that you have in you that they can be softened, right? Come on. And God's saying many of you are wanting to go in the street, but what are you going to go in the street with? A jacket? Your flesh? What you perceive to be my word? It's not the truth you're trying to take with you. You're still not yet fully consecrated unto me. We've got to leave our flesh behind. Remember, the violent take it by force, remember, since the days of John the Baptist. This is not a fun and games thing, walking with God. That's why a lot of people don't follow God, because they thought they were going to come and sit in the house of God and everything's going to be hunky-dory, you know, and everything's going to go smoothly. My life was fine until I got born again. That's the honest truth. I had the happiest, best life in the world. And once I got born again, all hell come at me. And it's been like that now, ever since 1977. But God is able. God is able. And he's never left me nor forsaken me. And every valley he allowed me to go through, he went in the valley with me. And every hardship that I've gone through, he was right there, strengthening me and telling me I can make it to come on. You know, my earthly father always said, grab yourself by the bootstraps and pull yourself up, because nobody else will do that. And one day God told me that. He said, daughter, get up. Grab yourself by the bootstraps. Get up. Nobody's going to help you up. They want to see you down, or get up. And I realized I was allowing the devil to take me down. And I got up. I haven't gotten down since. Because I just know that my earthly father was saying to God, get up. Because he used to make me, you better get up. You know what I'm saying? You better get up. I had a wonderful father. I loved him to pieces. And he loved me and spoiled me. But he made me listen to. That's what God does, you know. He loves us desperate and completely. And he spoils us. But yet he won't let us go too far. Because we won't be any good to anybody. I am what I am because of what my earthly father taught me. That's why us girls, we need good fathers. Girls need really good fathers. And I've heard a couple of men cry and say, Daddy, why didn't you love me? Why didn't you teach me? And my heart broke. So you say, I don't care if you're a girl or a boy, you need a father. All right. So, all right, women, I'm asking you, what kind of mother are you to your children? God's going to hold you accountable one day for how you raise your children. You know that, don't you? Because God told me, he said, these are my children I give you to raise, and I'm going to hold you accountable how they turn out. Are you listening? So if you're not consecrated to God, you can't lead your children right. Isn't that right? You'll compromise all over the place, and then they'll learn to compromise. And when you stand before God, he'll say, why did you teach him to compromise? I didn't do that. Yeah, you did, because you weren't consecrated to God. You didn't stay the course. Well, it's consecration night tonight.